Amen. Now, I know we normally, you know, begin every teaching session reading John 3:16. What we want to do this morning is someone sent us, it was a commercial that focused on the family showed during a football game concerning John 3:16. So we're going to show that to you in lieu of reading John 3:16. But you can be turning to John 13 because I'm going to share 13, 34, and 35. I mean, we should feel that same way. It's like, wow. But I mean, I think about that. I guess the last couple of years, that's become more and more rhema to me, just how much he loves me. You know, and if I start tearing up, it's okay, because that's what seems to be happening to me because it seems like I'm just starting to understand exactly how much he loves me. And sometimes I'll get up in the morning and think about it, and I just want to go, wow. You know, especially when I know everything I did and all the years that I rejected him. Okay, it's like, wow. And the great part about it is that he didn't just do it for me. He's that way with everybody. He doesn't. See, I'm learning more and more how love does not keep an account of a suffered wrong. I'm learning that more and more, because the only reason we won't reach out is because we start remembering what someone has done. Why do we keep, and it's a cliche, but why do we keep, you know, judging people by what they do? And you know what I'm going to say, but wanting to be judged by our intentions. You know, we don't take the other person's intentions into consideration. We'll put intentions there. We'll start saying, well, this is what I know. This is, I know them. They're like that. That's what they do. You know, but can you imagine where we'd all be if God felt that way about us? I mean, I know where I'd be if he felt that way about me. But it's like, as far as he's concerned, it's like I never, ever did anything wrong. And when I think about what he did for me, how dare I hold something against someone? It really doesn't matter. Someone does. Okay. All right. You know, listen. And I wind up apologizing for things that I didn't do. Didn't do. And I would rather die than apologize. My attitude was, I'm right, deal with it. I mean, that's what it was. And I realized that I don't have to defend me. My father has my back. Yes. And if it needs to be revealed to someone, he'll reveal it. I'm going to walk in love. Yes. Period. And I would really encourage all of us to do the same. Let's look at John 13. I'm going to read verse 34 and 35 out of the Amplified Bible, because I like the way verse 35 ends in the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. And that's the part that I really like. If we keep on showing love among ourselves. Now, would you go to Matthew 16, because we're still talking about, you know, the question I asked, do you have the audacity? And learning more and more, see, I used to think audacity was a bad thing just because of the way that word is used. I know Mommy used to always say to me when I do something, she said, do you have the audacity to do that? And when it was really bad, she would say, no, she wouldn't say some nerve. I was hope that was mild. And I still haven't figured out what this is, But she said, you have the unmitigated gall. And I'm like, what is that? <You know? laughs> But whatever it was, I knew it meant a trip to the mulberry tree to pick a switch. And I'm said, okay, I guess that's, you know, audacity to the 10th power. But there's some things that we should know about ourselves. And in Matthew 16, in the Message Bible, Jesus said that we are a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep us out. The Amplified Bible, I'm sorry, I'm reading verse 18, Matthew 16, verse 18. The Amplified Bible says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the power of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. And the New Living Bible says, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Will not conquer it. And, you know, the question is, will we believe that? Because who's it talking about, folks? Us. Why is it talking about us? Because we're the church. We're the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we it's time that believers everywhere had the audacity to start acting like we are the church. We're not second-class citizens. We're the church. And the church got some very specific instructions. Look at Mark 16. I'm going to share verses 15 to 20 out of the Amplified Bible. And again, the only reason I use all these various translations is that as I'm studying, the Holy Ghost will highlight certain ones and say, no, I want you to read it in this one. And that's what I do. That's all. I'm not trying to impress anyone, just trying to be obedient to what the Holy Ghost said. But in the Amplified Bible, again, Jesus speaking says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel to every creature of the whole human race. Look at verse 17. It says, and these attesting signs will accompany. Didn't say they might. It said, these signs, I believe the King James says, shall follow. Yes. Shall follow those who believe. Then it talks about what some of the signs are. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. In verse 20 says, they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Didn't say went before them. Too many times we won't go because we're waiting, you know, for about 350 confirmations before we start leaving. You know, we forget that Paul said, hey, when I heard, I conferred not with flesh and blood. And one of the things that's amazing to me, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Has anyone here, other than me, I don't do it anymore, but I used to do it before I knew better. You know God told you to do something, but then you call up your buddy and run it by them. Right? You know it's burning it. You know it's God. But you say, no, Brother John, this has been, I know it's God, and this is what he said, but what do you think? And then we have the nerve to respond. You tell me that God, no, I don't think God told you that. No, I would do it this way. Okay. But that's what we do. And we won't go and complete what God had assigned for us. And when it doesn't work and we fall flat on our face, we start complaining and say, God, what happened? I thought you'd never leave me nor forsake me. just start speaking doubt.
Yes.
You know why? We conferred with flesh and blood. And when God speaks, we shouldn't want to talk to anyone about it who's not God. It's that simple. I mean, well, my son-in-law called me because they were in Virginia. And when they had Mia, their first child, you know, of course we'd like for them to be close because it's like none of our children live close. You know, the closest one is about, for me, it's 4 hours. She laughs every time, my daughter, she laughs every time I say it because she said, well, it doesn't take me that long. I said, well, I don't drive like you do. But true story, we were coming back from Washington, D.C., and it was when Vicky had Mia, and they drove up from Delaware, and or down from Delaware, and she didn't know the way back to 95. You know, and my son, seems like my sons aren't like me. I drive everywhere. They sit back, you know. And so I said, no, that's all right. Just follow me. So they're following me to 95. I'm on 95. And Pastor does the speed limit. I mean, that's, you know, every now and then, just because I'm driving, don't realize I may go up 5-10 miles and that's, oh, sorry, Lord. And I get back down. Well, all of a sudden, and she's behind me about 4 or 5 car lengths. As soon as she saw signs, okay, she went past me like I was moving backwards, okay? And then, I mean, no exaggeration, she was like, zoom. And I'm like, she's got my grandchildren in that car, you know? And then they call us because they had moved to Delaware and we had never been to their home. They said, why don't you stop by? I said, okay. I said, where are you? They said, we're at the rest stop in Delaware. I was 35 minutes behind them. Okay? That's how fast they were going. For me, I... No. But in Matthew... Let me get back spiritual. All right. Let's look at Matthew 28. Again, these are instructions that we received. Verses 18 and 19. None of this is new. No. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So I have a question for you. What conditions did Jesus place on any of those commandments? He didn't say go into all the world unless. He didn't say go ye therefore and teach all nations unless you don't believe you are called to teach. He didn't say it. He just said, this is what you go and do. And then he leaves it up to us to make the choice to do what? To be obedient to what he said. And I realize that there's some things that have to happen before we are obedient. And the first thing we have to really do is just believe. Believe what? Believe in the person that gave you the assignment. You have to believe that he's able to keep you while you're doing it. Because if you don't, if you have no faith in them, I mean, growing up, a lot of folks asked me to play, you know, for their basketball team when I started gaining notoriety, if you will. And I would look at who was on the team. And I would recollect what I saw. And I'm like, they don't have the personnel because they don't think basketball, they play basketball. And I wanted to be on a team where folks not only played well, but thought basketball, because I like to play basketball like it's supposed to be played. And so if I didn't see everything there, or if I didn't have any confidence in that coach, guess what? I'd say, thank you for the invitation, but no thank you. I'm not playing. I mean, I'd do that with sports. How much more, now that I'm in the kingdom, I consider the person that's giving me the assignment. And the first thing that I consider is, who is it? And I'll tell you what I mean by that. God said that he would give you pastors after what? His own heart. So if God directs me to a church, then that must be his heart for me. And that's why anytime Pastors Clinton and Sarah would give me an assignment, I'd never ask, can I do this? Even if I knew I didn't have previous ability to do it. I just flat out didn't care, because I would just have a quick conversation with me, asking myself some questions. Now, did God give you these pastors? Yes. And this is his heart. Yes. Do they hear from God? Yes. And they were always so gracious, and they'd ask me, why don't you pray about it? And my thing is, why? First of all, and somebody help me out, I haven't found any biblical precedent of God giving someone instructions and the person saying, well, God, let me go pray to you as to whether or not I should do this. Okay? I mean, that's what I look at is, my pastors hear from God. They go into prayer. God gives them instructions. They give you, if they missed it, God has to deal with it. But if I start thinking about my own limitations, so when they said to me, convert this group of classrooms to a banquet hall, and I couldn't even read blueprints, my response was, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. How long do I have to get this done? And they gave me a time frame. I didn't say, I've never done anything like this before. I had the audacity to believe I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I had the audacity to believe that if they directed me to do it, they heard from God. And if I lacked anything, God would have to provide it. And as a result, I'm sitting in meetings with contractors. Never read blueprints. I knew what blueprints were, but I didn't know how to read them. I didn't understand, you know, it's drawn in scale. I mean, I understand that now, but I didn't know it then. And I'm sitting in meetings with contractors using terms that I've never heard before. And they're looking at me. They're like, you know that? Obviously, I said it. You know. How do you know that? And I look him smooth in the eye, as Pastor Clinton would say, and I tell him, let me explain something to you right now. We are a Bible-believing church. Everything I need to know, the Holy Ghost will tell me, so you might as well be straight with me, because I'm going to find out anyway. So when we had modules, and we said to him, look, don't cut across the floor in the module the latest pipe. There's a crawl space underneath. Well, I guess they didn't want to dig through, and they figured, this guy really doesn't know. And they cut a trench in this module. And I wasn't scheduled to be there, but again, I got prompted, go and just see what's going on. And I go in, and I walk through, and I see this trench. I'm like, what is this? And the guy was with me, he said, well, it's a trench. I'm like, I know that. Well, what's it? Well, we have to lay the pipe. I said, I told you, there's a crawl space. So, yeah, but there's a lot of sand under there. I don't care. I said, and I heard myself say this. You just compromised the integrity of this module. That's what I said to him. And he's like, no, I didn't. I said, yes. I said, don't do anything. I'm calling the building department. And I called the building department. And they said, I said, I really need you guys to come over now. And the guy said, okay, Greg, we'll be right over. The guy's name is Charlie Maneri. He came right over. And he looked at me and he said, oh, they can't do this. I said, why not? He said, they compromised the integrity of the module. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I said. I just had the audacity to believe I have the mind of Christ. Okay. And so whatever he knows, I should know. I mean, but you have to have the audacity to believe it. And the only way you demonstrate that you have the audacity is to do it. Is to say it. I mean, the contractor got upset. He called the pastors and said, you know, you may want to have someone else oversee this because he keeps calling the building department. I called him one time. He keeps calling the building department. And it's going to make the job take longer. I said, no, let me come down here because I want you to hear this clearly. All right. I got called in to my supervisor who said to me, I've spoken with the pastors and they told me to tell you, do not call the building department anymore. It's going to make the project take too long. And the building department, they don't really know what they're doing. And whomever you talk to, they'll tell you different things. Now, I know why God sent me. All right. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, and, you know, I'm trying to hold it, but it's coming. And I said, well, sir, I need to speak with the pastors, if you don't mind. That's why. They've already told me. I said, I need to hear this from him, and I'll tell you why. The only reason I'm here was to be an assist and to make sure everything is done in compliance with all the building codes, because if something happens, no one's going to come and look for me or this contractor. They're going to come after the president of this organization, Clinton H. Utterbach, and that ain't supposed to happen on my watch. Okay? I said, so there's some information they don't know that I just need to share with them. And because they have an open door policy, they said, come on. And I just shared. They weren't aware of what happened with the trench and everything. And they weren't aware that the contractor fired one of his workers who was in agreement that trench shouldn't have been there. He just fired him for conflict of interest. And they looked at me. They said, really? I said, so, you know, again, if you tell me and I hear out of your mouth, don't do the job that I was sent here to do, that's fine. But nobody else can tell me, don't do this. And they looked at each other, and, you know, Pastor Clinton, would he come and go, no, you just keep doing what you were sent here to do. We'll take care of the contractor. You know, so you have to have the audacity. You know, I wasn't disobedient. I wasn't defiant. I was very respectful. But I had to walk in the authority that was given me to do this project the right way and make sure that all the right information was given. I couldn't just say, I couldn't live with myself if I just said, okay, and went, well, hey, they told me not to. It's on them. I couldn't do that. I could not do it, not be who God says I am. If I'm sent to support, then I'm supposed to support. Not just say, well, they don't want the support, so I'm going to just wash my hands of it. You understand what I mean? Because, you know, I don't want you to think, well, you know, Pastor said when you get instructions from your boss, you can just tell them later for you, I'm not doing it. No, that's not what I'm saying. You know, but what is the job that God sent you to do? Now, looking up that word, you won't find audacity. I haven't found it in any of different translations, and that's okay. But it means boldness or daring. I like this part. Especially with confident, arrogant disregard for personal safety. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, I watch the X Games. I'd flip them, watch what they're doing with these skateboards and bicycles, and I'm like, If that's not confident disregard for personal safety, I don't know what is. But it means shameless boldness. I mean, nothing that God ever can ask me to do that I will be ashamed to do. All I need to know is God that said it, I'm going for it. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter to me what it is. It says, if you have audacity, you are recklessly bold in defiance of convention, propriety, you're unrestrained. You're just going to do what you're led to do. And as I shared with you last time, that's why, you know, God said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? He wants us to have the same type of response that would happen if we were filled with wine. A drunk person doesn't care what they do. they just submit to that spirit that they allowed to get in them. And that's what God wants us to do concerning the Holy Ghost. He wants us to fill ourselves with the Holy Ghost and then be in absolute submission to whatever that spirit is prompting us to do. That's just what it is. Because a drunk person just flat, they don't care what they do. They don't care what they look like, smell like, what you think. They don't care. They just don't. And that's the way God wants. He doesn't want us to care how we think we look doing what he said. He doesn't want us to care what anyone else says about what he's told us to do. All we have to do is make sure that we're doing what he told us and not what we want. unless you're becoming like me and I want to do what he told me. I mean, that's just what it is. So I'm going to be unrestrained. Well, let's go back. Matthew 28. I was reading last night and God stopped me and he shared some things with me that I just never thought of. And it's not new, but it's exciting every time he does it. But look at verse 20. Verse 19. Forgive me, in Matthew 28. When he said, he didn't just say, go. He said, go ye therefore. And all the times I've read that, I never paid attention to that. That's one of those words you just read over. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, you know. And then as I was reading it last night, I remembered something that Dad taught me. He said, when you see the word therefore, you need to stop and see what it's therefore. I mean, that's what he said. Simple, very simple principle, right? Well, I looked at that word, I'm like, okay. Now, I know what that word means, you know, but I'm like, all right, Lord, you keep highlighting this word, because I would just read over and I'd go ye therefore. I couldn't say teach all nations. I kept going, go ye therefore. Okay. So I looked up the dictionary. Go ye as a result of. Go ye because of. Go ye consequently. Go ye for that reason. I'm like, okay, that's nice. Well, I looked in the concordance. It said, go ye these things being so. And I'm like, what things? Okay, what things? And he said, look at verse 18. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Okay. And I was like that little girl. I was like, wow. Okay. Little simple principle. All power was given to Jesus. All power where? In heaven and in earth. For that reason, go. For that, because all power in heaven and earth was given to Jesus, go. Go where? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Yes. And do all the other things he said, because all power in heaven and earth was given to him. So now, if Jesus was given all power, what's left? When you think about it, if he's given all power and he told us to go, who can stop us? If we make a choice to go. Just about every time I'm in front of you, I reference Luke 10:19 in the Amplified Bible. When Jesus said he gave us physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall by any means harm us. So if I've been given all power, all over all the power the enemy possesses, how can he stop me? How can he stop me? I mean, we need to think about that. We walk around saying, well, the devil deceived me. Physical and mental strength and ability over all the power. If he could, he would deceive even the very elect. What does "if he could" mean? We need to think about what does that. To me, that means he can't. He can't. I can deceive myself. See, we have to stop empowering the enemy and start having the audacity to walk in what we have. All power. Because we're joint heirs with him. So if he has it, we have it. We just have to start acting like we have it. And that word power is exousia. That's not dunamis. And that means a lot of great stuff. Okay. Power of choice. That's what it means. Physical and mental power. If you look in your Strong's Concordance, you'll see it. The ability or strength with which one is exuded, which he either possesses or exercises. See, I can have power and choose not to use it. And that's what stops us. We have it, we choose not to use it for different reasons. I mean, during the last snowstorm, you know, the ministry, we purchased a $42,000 truck, snowplow, because we figured it was ridiculous to keep paying a snow removal guy $100,000 a year to move snow. You know, especially when we don't need the whole lot. And we said, we can do this. And at the end of the year, we have an asset. Instead of just paying out this money and having receipts, you know, at the end. But I have a Ford Edge. All-wheel drive Ford Edge. 4.7 inches of snow. And the Holy Ghost says to me, go up to the church, see how the snow removal's going. I get in the Edge. And I go. I just go. I get to the church, and the plow is stuck. The plow is stuck, all right? That makes no sense to me. I'm in a Ford Edge, okay? This is a Ford F-350, okay? All right? And it's the wheels are just spinning and spinning and spinning. And I'm like, this is a four-wheel drive vehicle. Why are two wheels spinning? It's a four-wheel drive. They neglected to read the manual as to how to put the truck in four-wheel drive. They flipped the dip switch for an auxiliary electrical connection. It said four, and I thought that was four-wheel drive. I went in the glove box, pulled out the manual, went outside and said, "This, you have to manually lock the front wheels. Just a little twist. I got in the car, I got in the truck, put my foot on the accelerator, went all over the place. All right? It had the power there. Had the power to do it, did not know how to activate it. Didn't know. That's what happens to us, folks. Something will come up and we won't know how to activate it, so we think we don't have it. Or something's wrong. They thought something was wrong with the transmission. Is it a brand new truck, Pastor, and the transmission's not working? No. What was the key? They didn't read the manual. The reason we don't know how to unlock the power, and the reason we don't have the audacity to act like we're believers, we haven't read the manual. We don't have a working knowledge of this manual. We've memorized some things, but if you don't know how to make it work, all you did was a mental exercise. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, if it says you can do it, do it. Do it. Well, what if it doesn't work the first time? What if it does? I mean, you don't know? How many of you are married? You ever have a disagreement with your spouse? Does that mean the marriage is over? You go there and you say, honey, I'm sorry, and it didn't work. So I'm never going to apologize again. That's it. Okay. No, we keep going. We keep going with it, believing, no, this is going to work because I am sincere. And they're going to know that I'm sincere. See, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, we're training our body not to listen to us. And we have to understand that. If we're not true to our word, if we're not doing it, then when we speak to our body, it's like, yeah, well, let's see if he really means it. I mean, that's what it, because we haven't established a pattern where I mean what I say. Period. Period. That's what God might be. Bang. Was. Didn't think about it. He didn't have to go back and say, light you be or I'm going to give you a timeout. No, he didn't say that. So, light be. Light was. Why? God spoke. God spoke. Now, he said, look at Psalm 8, verse 6. Look at that quickly. And this popped in one time on my way to intercessory prayer service several years ago. It became rhema to me. Psalm 8, verse 6. You there? Yeah. Would you read it out loud, please? So we have dominion over all the works of God's hands, right? So, I read one translation that said, he's given me dominion over, you know, all the works of his creations. And so I asked this question. Who created the devil? So the devil's creation was a work of his hands. You think about that. All these things that happen, that they're the works of his hands. I have the audacity to believe I have dominion over it. Why? Because he said so. So what do? I act like it. I mean, it's just that simple. I act like it. Things don't work. I speak to it. That's all. I speak to it. Well, actually, first I speak to him. Father, I'm ready to talk to this thing now. You tell me if I'm on the right track, okay? If you want me to speak to it, I'm speaking. If you want me to do something else, I'll do that too. But since Jesus always talked to you and he only did the things that you told him, what do you want me to do about this? And whatever he says, I do. Even if it makes other folks uncomfortable. Because, see, they can be uncomfortable. But when the solution manifests, they become very comfortable with that. But if we don't step out and start doing what God said, say, where are the signs going to be? Okay. Where are the signs? So we go because all power was given to Jesus. All power in heaven, all power in the earth, so we can go. Look at Acts 4. I just absolutely love these accounts of the early church. Those folks had audacity. And I started reading, I'm like, yeah, that's the way I'm going to be. Acts 4, let me get there. I'm going to pick up this account. At verse 24, this is after Peter and John, they healed the man at the gate beautiful, and you know the folks were upset with them, and you know they were strictly threatened, and I love the Bible said then they were further threatened, you know, and they were told in verse 18 it says they were commanded not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Now this is the church. You have the government telling the church, do not speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Okay. Don't speak or teach what makes you the church. All right. I mean, that's what. And of course, in verse 19, Peter and John answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you, you know, more than God, you judge. But I can only speak the things which I have seen and heard. And they further threatened them, and they let them go. And, you know, they went to their company and they told them what happened. Verse 24 says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that them is. And they went on to tell him some things David said. And verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. So in the midst of all of that threatening, they prayed. They had the audacity, they had the bold and daring and the disregard for their own personal safety to pray. And they didn't pray one of those begging, whiny prayers. They went, oh God, you know, I always try and do what you say, but you heard what they said here, and you told me to obey the laws of the land, and they told me I can't teach in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, what am I going to, Lord, kill them. Get them out of the way. You know, move them. You know, it's all right. Well, don't kill them, Lord. Move them by peaceful measures, okay? But get rid of them so I can do what I want. They didn't pray that prayer. And neither should we. Since the one that sent us has all power in heaven and earth, they said, behold their threatenings. Give us boldness so that we can speak your word, so that the signs will accompany. See, they prayed a prayer of strength. They prayed a prayer of belief. And look what happened. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. I like to say there was another one of God's special earthquakes, right? That only a few people felt. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And again, remember earlier it said that they lifted up their voice in one accord? Well, look what it says here in verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. And look at verse 33. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why? They had the audacity to pray and then act on what they received as a result of their prayer. They got endued with power, and they acted like it, and with great power they witnessed, and great grace was upon them. That means they witnessed, and they were able to endure anything that came as a result of it, because they had the audacity to act like they were the church, that they were founded on the revelation that Jesus is, not was, is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we need to do the same thing. I mean, I thought it was because they did this without hesitation. They did it without consultation. They did it without reservation. They just did it because those were the instructions that they received from the one who had all power in heaven and on earth. So they just did it. And that's what we need to do. You know, this came up while Elder Charles was doing the opening prayer, and he was praying, you know, for the government, as we always do. And one of the things that struck me is I did it when I first got born again, because that's what I heard. And folks would pray, and they'd pray, God, you know, we lift up our leaders, and we pray that you would surround them with godly men and women. And I started thinking, I was like, why? First of all, they are surrounded with godly men and women. Us. But are we doing what we are supposed to do as the church? And this is what God said. He said, do we have the audacity to vote as led by the Holy Ghost, regardless of our party affiliations or our investigation of their platforms? There are more Christians in this country than there are homosexuals. Yet laws are being passed granting rights to that group that's contrary to what God said. And laws are being passed to prevent our free expression of whose we are and who we serve. Why? Because we're not one heart and one soul like the early church. We're not of one mind. And we don't have the audacity to live, move, and have our being as the church. We get too caught up on doctrinal differences. We get too caught up on assignments. I mean, we just get too caught up on this stuff. My daughter called me, and, you know, just for clarification, all of our quote-unquote stepchildren, I don't call them stepchildren. They're sons and daughters. That's just the way I am, because if I say you're a stepdaughter, that gives you a way out. And I tell them, no, once you're in, you're in, regardless of what you and them too, you're in. I don't have a yo-yo, you know, you're in, you're out. Oh, this one's in now. Okay. You're in, you're in. And regardless of any of that, who are we? That's what boys are. Who are we? Do we believe that we're the church? And are we going to do what God said? They prayed for more boldness to do what they were supposed to do. And when they did what God said, it worked in spite of what the government said. Because the chief priest, they were the government during that time. And I'm not saying we need to be political. We don't have a political pulpit. What I'm saying is we need to start being one heart and one mind. And just start doing what Father has instructed us to do in everything. Seek Him. I mean, I remember once I was during a presidential election, and I had the mind who I wanted to see in office. And I was giving the word lip service. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do what the Holy Ghost said. But in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, but He's already told me. I know that this is the way I'm going because I like what this one says. And I walk into the voting booth. And I was getting ready to vote, and I heard clearly, I thought you said you were going to do what I said. And I was like, yes, sir. That's what I said. He said, so who are you voting for? And I'm like, well, I guess I don't know. I did have a mind to go in this direction. And he said, just stretch your hand out and let me guide it. And no exaggeration, folks. I'm in the booth, and they hear my voice going, oh, no, because he's having me reaching, and I didn't want to go that direction. But that's what he said, so that's what I did. And I learned from that point on, I'm not having an opinion, so to speak. I'm finding out, all right, Father, because he knows. Is there anyone here other than me? You had a mindset, and you're going to do something, and all of a sudden, you got a prompting, don't do that. Do this. Well, just because someone says, this is what I stand for, doesn't mean God can't change that. We have to find out what He wants. We don't want to be like those folks back where they wanted the king. Okay, go ahead. You can have the king. No, we have to want what He wants in everything for this to work. But we have to have the audacity to take that attitude. Let me share this with you quickly. Look at where I want to go. 2 Corinthians 8. Different circumstance, same principle. And this one, I have to share this in the Message Bible. I mean, it seems like the Message Bible is the only translation that really does this account justice, so to speak. This is about giving. This isn't a convict you on giving message. I just need you to just see this example about having the audacity to do what God said based on who he is. And this is subtitled in the Message Bible, The Offering. You start at verse, go to verse 1 to 7, and I'm going to stop along the way. It says, "Now, friends, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in Macedonia province. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors." See, a trial is always going to push out who you really are. Everything that you may have thought you had suppressed, you get squeezed, it's coming out. I mean, one of the things Pastor Sarah, one of the questions she says is, what happens when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste? What comes out? Why? Because that's what was put in. So whatever you put in, no matter how far down you push it, the right trial is coming out, okay? It says, they were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. And I started to imagine, I've been poor, but I don't ever think I was desperately poor. Leaving little or no hope. That's what desperate means. Having an urgent need. That's what it said. They were desperately poor. But they were incredibly happy. So there's a reverse side to that. See, it's telling us stuff and things don't make you happy, folks. You can have stuff and things and be just as sad and dejected. All right. It says the pressure triggered something. And that's what we were talking about a few moments ago. Pressure will always trigger something. See, that's why we have to be mindful of the type of ground we allow the word to fall on. Because we don't want to have stony ground. And then when pressure comes, we get offended. Okay? Said the pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. And I was like, now, wait a minute. These folks were desperately poor. What do they have to give? An outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there and saw it for myself. And I always say that's Paul, not me. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. They were desperately poor. They wanted to help folks that were a notch above. Okay. These folks are just poor. Okay. And they said they're pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians, not focusing on what they had or didn't have, considering their liabilities and all this, and say, well, I can only give this. It says they did far more than they could afford. Verse 5, this was totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea, and caught us completely off guard. What explains it was that they had first. Doesn't that sound like Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will do what? Add all these things. What explains it is that they had first given themselves unreservedly. That's why I like the Message translation. Unreservedly to God and to us. Now, look at this. This is the next phrase. The other simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their life. It flowed. Whatever God's purpose was for them, they had to embrace it, and it was just flowing through. Desperately poor, But because they were doing what God motivated them to do, his purposes started flowing, and that's what made it able for them to give. If they didn't get in line with God's purpose, nothing would have been flowing. But there was a flow there, even though they were desperately poor, because they allowed God's purpose in their life. Now, what was his purpose? I don't know. Maybe it was Malachi 3. I don't know. Maybe it was Luke 6:38. Maybe it was all of them. But whatever it was, they had to believe what God said and then have the audacity to give far more than they could afford because they were prompted to do so by the Holy Ghost. Prompted. And we sit, was talking with the folks in Nanuet, and I asked them this question. I said, why is it that, you know, we will say to folks, well, you can't talk to me unless, you know, you we're talking about married and unmarried. You know, if you're married and they say to an unmarried person who comes to try and give you, you know, some wisdom or something, when you have children, you come and talk to me. Okay? I mean, that's what it is. You don't know. You know, you have an unmarried man come to you and say, you know, you're supposed to love your wife the same way Christ loves. Look, when you get married, then we could talk about what the Bible says, okay? You know. But yet we will read books by folks that ain't married telling us how we're supposed to function in a marriage and take it as the gospel. We will get tape series on finances from folks that are making a little bit more than minimum wage and believe what they're saying as gospel when God already gave us everything that we need to know. I mean, that's... Seek me first, I'll add all things. Give, it'll be given again. He's already told us what to do concerning our finances. We have to have the audacity to do it. Now, Deacon Phyllis and I, before, you know, we became deacons or, you know, we were what you call lay people. And, you know, God seemed wasn't always speaking the same number to us. And so a guest or someone would come. And I mean, I think that God has given me a bold step. A bold step. We say, and give $50. I'm like, wow. Okay. You know, and I'm excited. Yes, $50. My wife will say, he told me 75. And it frightened me. I'm telling you. The words that came out of my mouth when she said that frightened me. I said, then I guess we need to combine it. And that's what we did. She looked at me. You know, I saw the thing go, you know. And she probably saw mine go like this. You know? But we wrote the check, $125.
Yes.
And we didn't say, all right, Lord, I'm doing what you said now. Okay? All right, windows, come on. Do I need help to open them for you? You know, I said, this is a big step. Don't we just, this is what he said do. That's what we did because we believed his word.
Yes.
And stuff would start happening. Would start happening. I mean, I know she went to the supermarket with $20. And for whatever reason, this new supermarket opened up in Haverstraw near us. And there were other supermarkets in the area. And everybody's vying for the same clientele. So they would have them buy one, get three free. I came home, and she left me. What time are you coming home? And I tell her, why? Well, I went shopping, but I don't want to pack it away. I'm like, why not? Unpack. No, you got to see this. I said, just tell them, no, you got to see it. These three big bags of groceries. Three Purdue oven stuffer roasters. Okay. All these things, you buy two, get one free, buy all this stuff. And she said, look at this. I said, what? She said, we got change from $20. Went shopping for a month, okay? $20. And we would sit down, you know, and good stewards, this is what, like, This is what comes in. This is what we owe. And we're not behind. And I would sit and I'd look at it, and I'd do a minute to Joseph. I go, and look. See, when you're really in trouble, he'd sit down, and rather than that was his sign, no, okay, I pushed it a little too far here. Okay. But I'd do that. I'm like, Lord, I don't understand this, but I've been taught that you don't add, you multiply, so thank you, and I'm going to keep doing what you said. And we just started learning different things on how to just do what he said. And folks were saying, how can you do that? Well, God said to do it. That's it. He said, send Vicky to the College of William and Expensive. that's what I named it, was William and Mary. And I'm like, Father, just in case you don't know, you see what's in here? Okay. All right. This is the tuition. And now I said, I boasted for you because when the guidance counselor said Brown University will give her a free ride, I said, God didn't say send her to Brown University. God said send her to the College of William and Mary. What are they offering her? Solid education. What else? I don't know. I don't know. That's irresponsible. I said, ma'am, I didn't come here to ask your advice. Okay? I came here to tell you send her transcripts to the College of William and Mary. Period. I said, I don't have to tell you this, but I'll tell you this one more time. God said send her to the College of William and Mary. So they don't have a choice. They're going to have to accept her. I said, now, can you do this or do I need to see the principal? He's like, okay, Mr. Carr, we'll send it. Why is that significant? As I've shared with you before, I believe, the first year someone came to us and said, God told me to pay her tuition. I said, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. The second year, all right, I'm not working it, you know, I hadn't started working at the ministry yet. And this was in like September. I came to the ministry in October, the end of October. But I was a commissioned sales rep, designed the Social Security systems. And I got a call because the college needed about $1,800 by 2 weeks ago. Okay. And I'm still playing my favorite song, Crying You Promised Me, so I'm not going to fret. You know, that's and I'm not taking calls. I see the college is calling. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to say. So God, when you give me something to say, I'll answer the phone. You know, I mean, that's what it is. And I go on this job, and I was told it was a publishing company. It was located on 42nd Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. And I was born and raised in New York City, but I was as naive could be. And I walk to this place, and I'm walking up and down, and I'm not seeing a publishing company. I'm seeing peep shows and all this, but I'm not seeing a publishing company. So I called it. They said, where are you? And I said, I'm on the corner now of 8th Avenue and 42nd Street. I said, hold on. He said, look up the block. And I looked at, you see that guy waving at you? I said, yeah. He said, that's me. I said, oh, thank you. It was a peep show. It was a peep show. Okay. And I go to the door, and I'm like, okay. I don't know what I'm thinking now, wait a minute, because by now I'm the youth director. And I'm like, if I go into this peep show, the devil will make sure that some of the children are going to come by. I said, now going in and I close this deal, I'm going to be happy. And they're going to see Mr. Carr coming out of a peep show smiling. And I'm like, no. So I'm standing, you know, I'm like right here talking to the guy, you know, and I went, it, and I'm like, I just can't go, you know. And he said, what's the matter? I said, I didn't know you were a peep show. He said, what does that have to do with anything? I said, well, I'm a born-again Christian. And I'm not in agreement with what you do because God's not in agreement. And he said, well, I'm not either, but I make a whole lot of money. That's what he said to me. You know. And then I did. I wanted to come up with a cop-out. Because I said, well, what do you want from us? He said, they're breaking into my machines. And I have to pay $90,000 a year for a security guard. So I want a system where if someone tries to break into my machines, I'll know. I just pulled a number out of the air. I thought of the most ridiculous number I could think of. And said, because I figured, you know, okay, he'll just say no, and that's it. And I told him, you know, and I smiled. And, you know, I said, it'll cost X amount of dollars, and it'll cost X amount of dollars a month, you know, just to, for maintenance and monitoring. Then I'm ready to him say, no, forget you. You know what he said? Okay. He said, yes. And I did. I just made, you know, it's covered. But before I could say, thank you, Lord, I was convicted by a scripture I had never read before in Ephesians. Have nothing to do with the evil enterprises of darkness, but let your life be such that it exposes them. And I said, wow. And I looked at him and I said, we're not going to take this job. He said, why not? I said, as I told you before. You know, what you're doing may be legal in New York. I can't be a part of it. And I'm not sorry. And I left. That was the easy part. Now I have to report in. I have to call the president of the company because he got the lead. And this was considered a red hot lead. And I call him. He said, you go? Yep. When do we do the work? We don't. He said, why not? I'm like, well, it's a peep show. I don't care. I'm like, I can't do business with a peep show. And he said, and I can imagine this because we're on the phone. He said, you have no right to put your religious beliefs on me. None. How dare you? And I got quiet. I said, I apologize. You're absolutely right. Now I have to choose whether or not I could work for anyone that would do business with a peep show and expose his employees to that type of environment. And then I exercise the first rule of sales. You make your closing statement and you shut up. They say the first person that opens their mouth loses. And I said that and I just... And then he said, I hate it when you're right. The next day, he said, we'll talk about it more when you come in. I came in fully prepared to leave. He said, I want you to handle Brooklyn Union Gas Company. That was his flagship account. Flex, 90% of his monthly recurring revenues came from Brooklyn Union Gas Company. And really, with Brooklyn Union Gas Company, I wasn't a salesperson. I was an order taker. I'd go there, this is what we want. Yeah, we could take care of that. Well, it doesn't matter, just send us the bill and just go. First job, commissions, $3,300. See, God wasn't trying to get $1,300, $1,400 to me. He was trying to get $3,300 to me. And all I had to do to get it was be true to who I am in Christ. That's all I had to do. And seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, but I had to have the audacity,
yes,
to stand there and say to this person,
yes,
no, I'm not doing business with you. I cannot do business with the evil enterprises of darkness, period. And then say that to the president of my company. And the reason I left is that he wanted me to do some unethical things. Because I found out with Brooklyn Union Gas Company that he said, no, I'll price everything out. And then one time I got a look at the pricing that we was using. I'm like, I'm thinking it's your flagship account that they get a discount. He was charging him 30% more because they weren't going anywhere else. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm not going to deceive anybody. I can't do this. And I said, I'm leaving. He said, where are you going to go? I said, I don't know. So what are you going to do? Something else. I mean, I didn't know. Then I got, you know, they announced that they needed an assistant physical development instructor at the church. Folks, it was a minimum wage position. And when they said that, I didn't think, I'd like, you know, I knew I was supposed to work at the church because God told me that. And I said, that's not it. He said, take that. I'm like, take it. They didn't give me minimum wage, but that's what it was. And since then, there's been no looking back. Just because I act like I believe what the word says and I'm willing to put it all on the line to prove it. I mean, God said, prove me now. He didn't say, prove me later. He said, prove me now. What's now? When you're there. When you're there. That's what I'm talking about. We have to have the audacity to do what God says, the way God says, yes. And when God says. Yes. Because that's how we prove not only who he is, but whose we are. We're putting on the reader board in Nanuet. What you do will always reveal who you really are. So the question is, do you have the audacity to act like you believe?